Dad, there's a boy in the backyard that needs to be saved. He said, there's a what? Where? Needs to. I said, just get your Bible and follow me. And he followed me out, and Keith called on the Lord in the backyard. The name of our little church was original. I don't think anybody else uses that name anymore. It's called Backyard Baptist. And we would have it all year long until it got too cold, and then we'd go downstairs and we'd have Basement Baptist Church. We'd take our allowance, we'd send it off to China. We had a great, great time. Here a while back, over home, I got a burden for a man that lived just down the road from our church. And I went to see him. They told me, said, you better be careful of his dog. This is the exact suit. This is why I'm thinking about this. This is the exact suit I wore. I'd preached that morning on Sunday morning. I left my wife and my family at the church. I said, I'll be right back. Give me about 30, 45 minutes and we'll go see this fella. I went down there to talk to him about his soul. He had cancer. I knew that he was probably going to die with it. They'd said it was terminal. And I went down to see him, and his dogs gave me a real welcome. They chewed this suit. I mean, it's had to be darned up in four or five different places. They never got through the skin too bad, and so I'm thankful for that. But I stood my ground to get in that house to witness to that man. And he heard his dogs cutting a fit, and he summoned them off of me. And I went in there and witnessed to him. And he said, I don't need it. I'm okay. Things are all right. But I'm telling you, in about a month, when that cancer got really bad, he called on Jesus, and he got gloriously saved. And I'm telling you, I don't care what you have to do. If you have to face wild dogs, if you have to spend an extra 30 minutes after church or an hour or two, if you have to have a youth service on a Saturday night at 6 o'clock, do what you can to give Jesus the glory and give him the opportunity to work in the lives of people in our community. And so I'm so thankful to see each and every one of you here tonight at Fletcher. It is a privilege to be here. I have the book of Mark chapter 10 on my heart. I have a lot of things on my heart. I'm going to try to preach quick, so you listen fast. In Mark chapter 10, in verse 46 through the end of the chapter, is where I want to read in a minute. And I'm thinking about something that's leading up to this. All of history leads up to this very moment that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about. I noticed today the sunshine is out. It's been a beautiful day, hasn't it? Thank God for it. I was able to get out and do a little mowing in the yard, a little weed eating in the yard today, and praying while I was doing that. It seems like I get closer to God when I'm getting to work out in the yard. That's always been a blessing to me. And I got to thinking today about old Joshua and how that he was having to go to battle against five kings. Five against one. And really, he was there to save somebody else that was five against one on them. And Joshua, the Lord said, I'm going to give you the victory. I'm going to give you a blessing. I'm going to help you to overcome. And Joshua stood with God, and he began to discomfit the enemy, and God began to throw down hailstones from glory. God don't miss. And Joshua was winning the battle. And let me tell you, the sun was about noontime, and he knew that the battle was long, hot, and furious. And Joshua said to the Lord, Sun, stand thou still. And he prayed that the moon would stay where it was. And God was with Joshua and stopped the moon from moving, the sun and the earth from spinning. And about a whole day, God gave Joshua a great victory. About a whole day, the sun completely stood still. I went and started studying back, and the Bible says that the moon stood still in the valley of Ajalon. From where the battle was taking place at noontime, that would have been a meridian. The Chaldeans tracked, listen to this, the Chaldeans tracked the date that this happened. Get it in your mind. I want you to remember it, son. It was Tuesday, July 22nd. Can you remember that? He's got it. Tuesday, July 22nd. Now, modern day, NASA, our scientists have went back using the eclipses, the lunar cycle, and they went back and they tracked that day would have been Wednesday, July 22nd. Troy, Zach, I want you to remember Wednesday, July 22nd. Now, Troy, what day did I give you? Tuesday, July 22nd. They're confused. And I gave Zach Wednesday, July 22nd. Well, which one is it? I mean, somebody's be wrong. Either the Chaldeans are wrong, maybe they're old and they missed it, or NASA's messed up now, I don't know. They're both right. You see, it was a Tuesday, July 22nd, and a Wednesday, July 22nd. It was just one long day. NASA's proved it. The Chaldeans proved it. I call it Twinsday. One long day. And God's Word said it was about a whole day. It was about 23 hours and I think about 20 minutes. Well, Preacher Darren, where's the other 40 minutes to give us a complete 24-hour cycle? Have you ever read about Hezekiah, who he prayed to the Lord that God would heal him? And God said, I'm going to heal you. Oh, ask me a sign. He said, let the sunshine go back 10 degrees. Study it out. It's 40 minutes. And the sun went back, and now we have 23, 20, and another 40 is 24 hours. God's words proved out. And God said, there's never been another day like that. I can show you in Joshua chapter 10. I'll pull the book. There's never been another day like that. Never been another day like that in all of history that the S-U-N stood still. And we fast forward all the way to the book of Mark chapter 10. Would you stand as I read in verse 46? And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. That's the S-O-N. Jesus is the S-O-N. The son stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, if correctly read. Tonight we want to preach on this thought. The Son, the S-O-N, stood still. I'm thinking of another time he stood still on a place called Calvary, upon a cruel Roman cross, that we might be saved. Father, would you help us tonight? As we study your word, as we try to preach, Father, would you fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit? God, would you help us to be a mouthpiece sent from heaven? Lord, there are folks here tonight, God, they've sang so eloquently. God, it's been filled with praise to your name. Lord, I know you're pleased with them, God. And Lord, we ask that you'd have the preeminence in the service. And I pray, God, you'd help us tonight, God. Your hand would be upon each and every one that we preach to, God. You'd help them to hear and heed the word of God. Thank you for the encouragement. God, I pray tonight, God, for courage. I pray for conviction. I pray, Father, for conversion. God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be firmly established in the word of God as we leave this place. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your caring for us, God, when nobody else did. Lord, we ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. And there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus loved this blind man that was sitting by the side of the road. All my points tonight, they're going to be alliterated. They're going to start with an L, and the second word's going to have a C, and they won't make a whole lot of sense. It's just the way us preachers have to outline stuff. Number one, when I look at this scripture, I see a lost condition. The Bible says that this blind man's name was Bartimaeus. Bar means son. Timaeus, son of honor. That's what his name means. Yet Bartimaeus had a condition. The son of honor had a condition. What was his condition? He was blind. Three people paid attention. He was blind. He was a blind man. And all through Scripture, blindness is a picture of a lost man, of a lost young lady. It is a picture of a spiritual condition. In West Virginia some years ago, there were some coal miners that got trapped in the cave, down in the mine working. Some things fell and they were trapped. And people worked to try to get them oxygen and to try to get them the ability to breathe and the ability to be free of that trap that they were set in. And finally, after some few days, they were able to get to them and they rescued them and they began to bring them out one by one. I believe it was like 14 of them. And one of the 14, when he came out in the light of the day, he said, "Hey, somebody bring the light over here. It's still dark where I am." What had happened to him was when the explosion happened inside the mine, it blinded this man for the rest of his life. And now he realizes his condition in the light of the day. In the darkness, he didn't know he was blind. But when he got in the light, he figured out that he was blind. Let me tell you something. I was just a little toe-headed, freckle-faced boy. When I found out, the Holy Ghost showed me that I was lost, that I needed to be saved. I'll be honest, my daddy's a great man. My mother's a great woman. I wasn't looking for salvation. I wasn't looking for Jesus. I was in church every Sunday. In fact, I was in church 9 months before I was ever born. Say amen right there. I was always in church. I was a good boy. I wasn't murdering anybody. I wasn't drinking. But I'm telling you, I was on my way to hell. And one night the Holy Ghost revealed to me my condition. And I got afraid. I began to tremble. I fell under conviction. There was a man one time that went deer hunting with his buddies, and it started to rain on them. They got separated as a group. It started to rain, and he went to a cave. And when he got in that cave, he had a lighter there, and he got some sticks that were dry. And inside that cave, he was wet because it had been raining. It was cold outside, and he lit him a little bit of a fire. And as the fire began to blaze up, he realized that over his head was a great big spider. I mean bigger than my hand in the middle of a web. He looked over in the corner, was a snake, a rattlesnake coiled up. He was comfortable in that cave till the light came on. And he didn't stay there any longer. He said, "I'm not handling no snakes and I'm not handling no spiders." And I'm telling you, the light, when it was preached, the Word of God began to show me that I was lost. And honey, I didn't stay there long. I'll admit, the first time the Lord spoke to me, I didn't move like I should have. He was merciful and gave me a second chance and a third chance. And finally, the man of God was preaching that night and gave the invitation, and I literally trembled so under conviction. Have you ever been there? I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And the preacher said, "Well, I'm done." Nobody came to the altar. He walked off the platform. The pastor came up to dismiss the service. And thank God, the evangelist stopped and said, "Wait a minute, pastor." He said, "There's a lad here. And son, I want you to know this is your last chance for you to be saved." That's my second point. Number two, it's this blind man's last chance. Look with me what the Word of God says. Here's a blind man with a dilemma. Here's a blind man with a problem he can't solve. Here's a blind man with a situation he can't change. And the Bible says that Jesus has come through Jericho with his disciples, and verse 46 says, "As he went out of Jericho." Jesus is passing through Jericho, and he's leaving the city never to come back there again. He's on his way to the cross. He's on his way to Calvary. He's ready to lay down his life for the sins of mankind. And there he goes through Jericho, he and his disciples, and he's never coming back. This was the blind man's last chance. He sat by that highway side begging. He's desperate. He's alone. He has no friends. He has no company. He has no companions. And there he is. Jesus is passing by. And it's his last chance. And that night that preacher said, "There's a lad here. This is your last chance." And I'm going to tell you something. I knew it was me. And I looked at my daddy and over at my mama and I said, "Daddy, I got to go." And I jumped over two people that had me blocked in, and I took off running down the aisleway. I was at the Balfour Baptist Church. That's not where my membership was. That's not where we attended. I was just visiting there to hear that man of God. My parents took me there, and my knees buckled. I'm going to go where it was. My knees buckled between the two front rows. I fell flat on my knees. There I was, nobody in the altar, and I thought you had to go to the altar to be saved. And I didn't get up there, and I thought I'm going to be lost forever. I'm trapped. I can't move. I'm paralyzed. I'm crippled here. My daddy came down behind me. He said, son, what in the world is wrong with you? I think he knew. I said, daddy, I need to be saved. He said, well, son, I said, but daddy, the problem is I didn't make it. I didn't get in the altar. He said, I have good news. He's come to you. And he met me in the middle of the aisleway, and he saved my sin-sick soul. One of my favorite preachers is Dr. J. Harold Smith. He's dead and gone now. But Dr. Smith had graduated college and got a medical degree to become a doctor. And he went to see his sister, and he sat down on her front porch. And she walked out and looked at him, and she said, Harold, when are you going to give your life to Jesus? When are you going to ask Jesus Christ to save you? And he said, I turned the cursor. How dare you ask me, your brother? I'm a good man. A question like that. And he said, when I turned the cursor, I noticed there were tears running down her face because she loved me and she didn't want to see me die and go to hell. And when I saw the tears in her face, he said, right now, sis, I wake up at night even preaching, Lord, would you save my sin-sick soul? He bowed down on that front porch and he got gloriously saved. The Lord had, he told us, he said, the Lord showed me that was my last opportunity. He dealt with me and dealt with me, and I'd wake up in the night under conviction, knowing I needed to be saved. And I was so prideful, so stinking prideful. I wouldn't tell my mama. I wouldn't tell my daddy. I wouldn't tell my sister. I didn't want nobody to know that I was on my way to hell. But her tears revealed to me that the Lord had showed her that I was lost. And that night I got on my knees, or that day I got on my knees and bowed before Jesus, and he saved me. He said later on that evening, he said, I was driving down the road. I came to an intersection where there was almost involved an accident. And God said, earlier today, you changed the course of history for your life. For in this place, you are going to die. And you would have died and went to hell. But earlier today, when you called on me, it changed everything. Now he's going to preach to God. Honey, I'm telling you, it is Bartimaeus' last chance to get rid of his lost condition. In a youth service, much like what we're in tonight, many years ago, a preacher was preaching. The man of God was preaching in the power of the Holy Ghost. There were many that came forward and got saved that night. And about four or five rows back, there was an 11-year-old girl sitting beside her parents. She was fidgeting. She was wiggling. She was uncomfortable. She didn't really want to hear. But she was under conviction. The evangelist, when he dismissed the service that night, he made his way down the aisleway. I don't believe in dragging people to the altar. If the Holy Ghost is not big enough to get you, I'm not going to be able to do it. Amen. And as he went by, he seen her and said, honey, are you okay? She said, I'm fine. He went on to the back. When the service was over, her mom and daddy came back there and said, pray for our girl. We thank the Lord's dealing with her. She's under conviction. She's asking questions and she needs to be saved. And so they again said, honey, don't you want to be saved tonight? Is the Lord dealing with you? Yeah, he's dealing with me. But not tonight, I told y'all. Not tonight. She darted out into the car. She sat in the back seat and they prayed for her back in the lobby, the vestibule of the church. And they got in the car and they sat down. And daddy sat in the driver's seat, mama in the passenger's side, and said, honey, don't you want to go back? Don't you want to be saved? I mean, what is something to happen? She said, I told y'all, I do not want to be saved tonight. They started down the road and they signaled left to turn in their driveway. And as they started to turn, a drunk driver topped the hill in excess of 90, almost 100 miles an hour, and T-boned them and flipped their car up on its side, and the other guy spun over into the ditch. The drunk man got out. The car's laying up on its side. The daddy has been thrown out of the vehicle, and the mother has just got out as well. And the little girl is trapped. She's 11. Between the front seat and the back seat, not a cut on her, but she could not wiggle free. She's trapped in a car that's up on its side. And gasoline is running across the road. out of that gas tank. And the drunk that hit them said, "What has hit me?" and struck a match to light a cigarette and threw it on the ground and woof, vapor trail, man, went across the highway, lit the car on fire. The daddy worked feverishly. The mother begged her daughter. Listen, first responders are getting there. People at the church service are stopping to help. They're working to get the girl out. The car's on fire. The mother says, "Honey, oh, I don't know if we're going to get you. You said you need to be safe. Call on Jesus." Listen, they broke the daddy's shoulder, holding him back from the fire as his daughter burnt to death. Her last words were, "Mother, I can't get saved now. It's too late." Dear God, please don't let us have that scenario tonight as we leave Fletcher, that somebody here that needed to be saved says no to Jesus when it was your last chance. On my way over here tonight, my wife would testify to you. We saw a tractor trailer on its side coming down Black Mountain. As we got to the top of the mountain, we saw a second accident. I prayed and said, "Oh God, please don't let one of them under the sound of my voice tonight say no to Jesus and go off and get in some car accident." I'm telling you though, I believe tonight this very well could be your last chance. You may say, "You preachers say that all the time, but you never know, do you?" I took the man of God's advice that night and the Lord changed my eternity. J. Harold Smith took his sister's advice and called on Jesus and changed her eternity. I changed his eternity. This little girl said no. This little girl said no. In this very church, in the old sanctuary many years ago, I was preaching and there were two girls in the back. They were laughing, passing notes, gooching each other in the side the whole time I preached. And usually, listen, I don't worry. I'm just going to preach anyway. But at the end of the service, I said, "Tonight, your blood is on your hands, or today, your blood is on your hands because of your decision." They gooched each other. At about that time, one of them's face went down like this. And I noticed her. She stepped out. And her buddy looked shocked. And she started walking forward. She started coming down the aisle pretty at a brisk pace. And I looked, and blood was running through her fingers, down her forearm, dripping off her elbow. God pinched her nose. I'd said, "Your blood is on your own hands." She laughed at God. He pinched her nose and said, "There it is." She took, listen, the way to go to the bathroom was to walk down the aisle and to go around this section over here to get to the bathrooms in that day. But she didn't swing to the left to go over to the bathrooms. Honey, she swung to the right. She bowed on her face and she motioned for me. And she said, "Preacher, I laughed at God. I insulted Him. I laughed at you, preacher. Oh, God, would He ever forgive me?" I said, "Honey, though our sins be, listen, the Lord can wash our sins. Why, no, amen." He said, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow." And the Lord saved her that day. She stood up, turned around. Her buddy was still back there. She called her name and she said, "You know, you laughed at God too. You know you need to be saved." I thought, "Dear Lord, help her. She's liable to run out the back of this church and never come back." And she didn't run, honey, out the back. She took off running down the aisle and she slid in, amen, to the altar, and she was saved. Amen! The Lord saved her there in that place. It was their last chance, amen. Well, let's go to the text. Look in verse 47. This blind man, he's sitting by the highway side. It's his last chance. He's begging. Verse 47 says, "When he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" Number three, it was a loud cry. He made a cry to the right person. He didn't cry to Buddha. He didn't cry to Confucius. He didn't cry to Muhammad. Amen. He cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but at the name of Jesus. He's the one that died on the cross. It was not Mary. It was not the Pope. Hear me. It was Jesus. He's crying out for Jesus. Also, it's a cry for the right purpose. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, begging for mercy. He's not demanding. He's not saying, Lord, you owe me this. Lord, I'm entitled to this. What he's saying is mercy is me not getting what I deserve. Imagine tonight I drove a ways to get here. Imagine I was doing 75 or 80 in a 65. And what if a state trooper pulled up behind me and put blue lights on me and escorted me to the side of the road? Do I deserve a ticket? Yeah. Some of y'all are wondering, did it happen? Talk to Gina when it's over. So when you get escorted to the side of the road, he comes up, he says, license and registration. You know how fast I clocked you going? You're going 10 miles an hour over. And he goes back and checks you. He comes back. He says, you know what? You deserve a ticket and I'm going to let you go. You know that sinking feeling when you've been escorted to the side of the road? Some of these parents are saying, don't talk about it, preacher. I don't want my kids to know. I don't want them to know. And then they let you go with just a warning. You say, woo, hallelujah to God. I'm set free. That's mercy. And I deserve the ticket, but I didn't get what I deserve. That's a poor illustration when I compare to the fact that I deserve to go to hell. Amen. I deserve to go to hell. And in mercy, he doesn't make me go. And thank God he gives me grace, what I don't deserve, and lets me go to heaven. That would be next akin to the trooper pulling $100 bills out of his pocket and said, here's $100, have a couple of tanks of gas, or maybe one, on me. Amen. Thank God for it. Amen. Now, this is a loud cry. Let's look, fourthly, verse 48. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. Little concern. Little concern. The crowd told Bartimaeus, calm down, dude. Hold your peace. You're disrupting our service. Y'all singing too loud. We like it a little quieter in here. Y'all hollering amen too much for me. Some places I go, if somebody hollers amen while I'm preaching, I literally they have to call 911 and pick four or five people up off the floor. They passed out cold and feel like that we've offended God. Honey, this is the house of God, and He wants us to praise Him, and He wants us to shout in His name. Amen. This crowd has little concern. They are demeaning Him. They're discouraging Him. They're determined to silence Him. They're like, listen, I go to churches all the time. You know, some churches are stopping invitations. No more altar calls because they don't want people to be uncomfortable. Thank God for a preacher that made me feel uncomfortable. It's high time we started feeling uncomfortable living in sin. Amen. Thank God for the man of God who preached the word to me. Fifthly, verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. Fifthly, I see the Lord's command. The Lord stood still. He stood still for a blind man. He stood still for a man crying out for mercy. Listen, some weeks ago, I can't explain it. We had 24, maybe 30 hours of prayer at our church. Got in the Holy Ghost. I just got lost for 5 or 6 hours, 7 hours with Him. I was in the middle of our church up underneath a pew. And this is what I heard. I don't know that it could have been the air conditioner. This is what I heard. Mercy. It went right by me. I'm telling you, it was like a cool breeze from glory. It was a fresh breeze. Mercy. Man, I started studying mercy. The Lord's let me, I don't know how many messages young as I preached on mercy at our church. But I'm going to tell you right now, I have never read in the Bible where one person that ever asked for mercy didn't get it. There's a little lady, she owned a restaurant that maybe stood for the wrong things down below our church. And I ate there a couple of times, you know, and I got to know her. I just moved there. And the Lord said, I want you to go see her. She's 91 years old. Her name was Essie. I walked in. She had some soap opera up a blaring as loud as it could blare. I cut her TV off. I had my Bible. And I said, Miss Essie, I've come to talk to you about your soul. She said, I reckon you did. I said, Miss Essie, I want to ask you, are you a Christian? She said, no. Preacher, I'm not. She said, I'm just going to tell you what happened. She said, we've done for the wrong things. We've done the wrong things. I'm too far gone. I'm too old now. She said, I pray for mercy every day. And I've made it to 91. That's pretty good. And she said, but the other day something happened. I thought, what happened? She said, some of you young people don't know this, but there used to be a weatherman in our area called Bob Caldwell. Raise your hand, older people, if you remember. Look at the hands going up. Even some younger people remembers Bob Caldwell. Bob Caldwell, Billy Graham has even eaten at this restaurant. Bob Caldwell had been over there. And her little great-granddaughter had went over to Bob Caldwell and said, what's your name? And he said, my name is Bob Caldwell. Well, she didn't know who Bob Caldwell was. She was not impressed with who Bob Caldwell was. She said, I had an uncle named Bob, and Uncle Bob's in heaven now. And Miss Essie heard her great-granddaughter say that, and she said, what's she going to say about me one day? She said, she's going to say that Pooh Nana went there. She began to weep. She said, I don't know what to do. I've just waited too late. And I said, Miss Essie, the Bible says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I said, do you believe you're a sinner? She said, wicked sinner, evil sinner, corrupt sinner. Feel like I've gone too far. Do you feel like the Lord ever deals with you? She said, well, honey, he's dealing with me right now. I'm about to die. I sit right here. My heart's beating out of my chest. She said, preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, right now. Do you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross? She said, that what that Bible says? I said, it does. And he rose again on the first day of the week. She said, I believe everything that's in that Bible, preacher. And I said, right now, you've been calling on mercy all these years. Why don't you ask God for grace to save your soul? And right there, young, she called on Jesus and she got gloriously saved. I'll never forget how she clapped. You know, most of all, I want you to clap. I want to see. I want you to clap. Keep clapping. Nobody. All right, stop. Nobody clapped like, I've never seen anybody clap like her. This is how she clapped when she got saved. Do that with me. That's how she clapped, hallelujah. When she got saved, she had herself a fit. Her daughter walked in the room and her son-in-law. And when they walked in, she said, I've got news to tell you. Oh, boy, I thought this will be good. She said, the Lord has just saved me. Woo! Glory to God. And listen, they hugged me, and even the dog came and shook my hand. Amen. I'm telling you, we had a time there. The Lord is in the saving business, youngins. Hear me. The Lord had a command. He stood still. You know why he stops? Because he cares. He gives a personal invitation. He says, come, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 50. He casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Loosed confinements. What does that mean? He casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now he's blind. I'm certain there were probably people there, and they've lifted him up off the ground. Can you just see it? And they're trying to get him to Jesus. He's like, and he stops and he looses his confinement. In other words, he takes off his outer coat. Maybe it's a robe. And he's tripping in it. Hey, you know what? Our righteousness is as filthy rags. His garment had been warm. His garment had been a shelter from the elements. His garment had been comfortable. Maybe it's a garment of pride. I'm saved, Preacher Dan. My mama says I am. I don't remember nothing about it. I don't remember being under conviction. But mama said, I got baptized. Honey, I appreciate your baptism, but if you didn't get saved first, all you did was take a bath in front of everybody with your clothes on. I don't care if you've been baptized so many times, the tadpoles knows your first name. If you've not asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and to save your soul, honey, you're unsaved still. Amen? This man had a filthy, tattered garment, I believe, that was holding him back, and he was determined not to be tripped up. He was determined not to be trapped any longer, and he took that garment off, and he threw it down. Now, thank you, Lord. I was preaching one time at a funeral, and I literally saw this. I don't always give invitations to funeral, but I felt led to. The Lord was working there. There was people on this side making their way to the altar. There were people in the middle making their way to the altar. There was a lady. I'm going to go over here. There was a lady on this side. She got up. And she came down about three pews worth and stopped and turned around. I thought, oh, God help her. She was on her way and she's being defeated. She's going to go sit back down. Let me tell you what she did. She had this big old shawl on that was pretty heavy. She took that thing off, and she throwed it back there towards the people she was sitting with, like, well, honey, what are you doing? Throwed it at them as if to say, I'm not going to be held back from what I need for the rest of my life. And she turned around and made it down the rest of the way to the altar. I could just see old blind Bartimaeus say, bless God, I'm not letting my pride, I'm not letting my old rebellious ways, I'm not letting that stinking mess hold me back any longer. And he threw it down. He loosed his confinements. I'm telling you, there may be a girl here. You got some boy who's confining you. He's hindering you from walking with God. I've literally seen young people. I've seen girls get up and boys pull them right back down. I've seen it in the middle of the service, and then I've watched it happen in life. Fellas, let me tell you something. I've seen girls too. I've seen boys tremble and shake. No, they need to go and said, man, I need to be cool. Because if I'm not cool, they're going to laugh at me and they're going to make fun of me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I was 16 years old. Brother Philip, where are you at? Wave at me. I was at Hooper's Creek Baptist Church, 16 years of age. Brother Charlie LaBall was playing the guitar. Brother Ferris was there as well. And Brother Ferris was playing the guitar and came off and touched Charlie. Charlie started shouting out, Charlie LaBall, the quietest guy in the church, started shouting praise of God. And he came back to the third, fourth row where I was sitting, and he laid his hands on my shoulder, and electricity run off. Listen, man, you're 16 years old. You got to be cool. You can't completely lose it. And the next, my mom was there. My daddy was there. The next thing I knew, electricity, the Holy Ghost shot through me. I jumped up, started praising, shouting, and took off running through the back of the church and realized when I went down the steps where I was. And I stopped and I went, I'm ashamed to go back in. What's everybody going to think of me now? I ain't never done anything wild like that, ever. And I walked back in, and it hit me again. And I took off running again. Amen. Let me just tell you something. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Let Him hang all over you. Let Him get all in you, all over you. Shout and praise God and have a fit. Amen. It's high time people was made uncomfortable. Let young people praise God if they want to. Loose confinements. Number 7, I'm done. The Bible says in verse number 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Number 7, LC, lips confessing. Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. You know what he did with his sight? He began to follow Jesus in the way. The minute his blindness was gone, he didn't misuse it on looking at pornographic things. He didn't misuse it on getting into other stuff. And listen, he didn't get into Twitter and Facebook and Snapchat. Well, preacher, they weren't available. I tell you what he did with his eyes. He followed Jesus. His lips confessing. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what he call him? Lord, amen, that I may receive my sight. Shall be saved. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Immediately, he began to follow Jesus in the way. There was no day like that for Bartimaeus. There was no day like that for Joshua. There's no day like that for Bartimaeus. There was no day like that for me. No day like it. How about for you? There was a young man, he grew up in a fine home, very wealthy. His daddy was a hard worker. And I want you to know that his daddy would buy good clothes send the family to church, and the mom and the two kids would go to church, but daddy would not go. They'd ask him to go. He would not go. He was too busy. He said, Sunday's my day off. I'm not going to church. Honey, you go without me. You take the kids. And she'd say, please go. He said, listen, if you keep bothering me with it, I'm not going to let anybody go. Sunday is my day to rest. Leave me alone with it. So one Sunday, the kids went to church with mama, and they came home and had dinner. And when it was over, he went out to the front yard. The little boy wanted to throw a ball and said, Daddy, will you throw a ball with me? He said, he had his paper up. He said, Daddy's too busy. He said, please, Daddy, somebody throw a ball with me. He said, I told you, son, don't ask me to go to church. Don't ask me to throw a ball. I am not interested. I'm too busy. So the little boy threw the ball himself. And nobody was there to pick it up. So he went over to the fence, and he picked it up, and he threw it again. But that's really no fun. Finally, he threw it that third time, and it hit a tree, and it bounced and went over the fence, across the road, into the ditch. And nobody's watched him. So he just wanders across the sidewalk, opens the gate, right into the path of a Mack truck. You could hear, impact. The daddy put his paper down then. He saw what had happened. He went running across the road. He cursed at the Mack truck driver. He got a hold of his boy in the ditch line. The little boy was laying there, blood coming out of his mouth, blood coming out of his ear. His little body broke all to pieces. He said, Daddy, will you go to church with me now? They had the funeral 3 days later. Daddy went to church that day, preached the gospel. Daddy didn't give his heart to the Lord. But the next Sunday, he had dealt with it all week. The next Sunday, he came in for Sunday school, shocked everybody. They said, we're going to take you to the adult men's class. I don't want to go there. Well, we're going to take you to a couples class. I don't want to go there. I want to go to class where my little boy that died went to class. And they took him downstairs. And he sat down in one of them little short chairs. And the teacher was, and the students were all uncomfortable. But he said, I want to hear what he heard about Jesus. And he listened to everything that that teacher had to say. And all the little testimonies and all the little witnesses of the little children that had their childlike faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Sunday school bell rang and it was time to go upstairs. And he said, I want to sit where my family sat. And he sat down and he heard the gospel. And he made his way down the aisleway and he said, Lord, if you would just save me, please forgive me. I want to see my boy again. I'll go to church from now on. God, please forgive me of my pride. Please forgive me of my stinking pride that has cost me everything that's important to me. And that day God saved that man. God called that man to become a deacon in their church, and he's a fine deacon until the day he died. I'm telling you something, youngins. The Lord has business that he wants to do tonight. And there's going to be no day like it. No day like it for that daddy. No day like it for Bartimaeus. No day like it for Darren Waldrop. No day like it for Joshua. There'll be no day like it for you. You stand to your feet. I've got so much more I'd like to tell you. Somebody come to the piano and play. Just whatever God lays on your heart to play. Just start playing as soon as you get there. I'm going to ask you, maybe there's somebody here, you're saved, you know it, but you feel the Holy Ghost sitting on the service, you feel Him working. I'm going to ask you, would you come pray right now? Say, God, I want you to convict. God, I want you to work. Come on right now. God, I want you to work. I want you to work, God. Maybe you've got loved ones. Maybe you've got family members. Maybe you're so, God, work. God, I've got some friends. I've got family members, Lord. I've got foes, Lord, that need to be saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved. Maybe you've already come to the altar and you know, Preacher Darren, I need to be saved. I'm not going to embarrass you. Your head's bowed. Nobody's looking. Preacher, I'd like to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. Is there somebody here say, Preacher, it's me. I'm the one that needs mercy. I need grace for salvation. Is anybody? Maybe you're in the altar. Would you slip up your hand? Maybe you're still in the pew. Is there somebody here say, Preacher Darren, I need to be saved. I want to be saved. I thought I was, but I need to be saved. Is anybody? God's looking. God's looking. Might it be when we leave this place, word comes back that you do what God told you to do. Oh, God, help us. Lord, I thank you tonight for the Word of God. Father, I thank you tonight for the truths and the promises of the Word. Father, I thank you for these tonight, God, that have come this way to be part of this service. And God, I pray tonight, Father, that this might be the night that you'd save those folks that need to be saved. God, people praying round about. God, the blood of Jesus is already ready to atone and wash away their sin. God, all they've got to do is take the courage to bow themselves in an altar that's already filled and just call the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you, God, that you would do the impossible. You would do the miraculous. God, tonight will be the night that you convict that heart and give them courage, give them faith, Father, to step forward and say, there'll be no day like it for me. I'm going to go to heaven. Lord, would you save them tonight, God? Lord, I believe tonight you're working. I believe you're drawing. I believe you're wooing. Father, I pray tonight, Father, we've got friends. We've got loved ones. We've got family, Father, that's in need of salvation. Father, I pray you'd send the Holy Ghost tracker after them. God, you'd convict them. God, you'd draw them. You'd compel them to a place of salvation before it is everlasting too late. God, I'm asking you, Lord, that you'd do what you came to do. And Father, that is, send grace and mercy, your love upon these souls, that they might be saved. Lord, I thank you for saving me. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing tonight. I thank you for your power and your work. And God, we ask your blessing. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon every name that's been called out tonight. Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.